The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey there, it's that time again. We're back here in the studio at the Shepherd in Orlando. Today, I'm interviewing somebody that's been with me before, David Kramer. David, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate the opportunity.
You know, David, the last time you and I did this, I'll give all the proper introductions in a moment. But the last time we did this, it was not face-to-face.
No.
It was over the phone,
yes. And
it was in 2020. And many of our 2020 interviews we did over the phone because of COVID.
Yep.
And, you know, we don't know how much longer we're going to get to do face-to-face this year.
Yeah.
But we are socially distanced, as they say.
Yes,
so.
We are.
And so that's good. And we're abiding by all the health, I guess you could say, precautions that people are taking, the protocols. But it is great to have you in the studio. David works with the wonderful organization called Wycliffe. And he is the regional director of discipleship for the Pacific area. What is it? The Malaysia area?
Melanesia. Yes,
Melanesia.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
The Melanesia,
yeah.
Pacific area. And David has been on our program once before, again, when we talked about these things. And at that point in time, you hadn't been with Wycliffe all that long.
No, I had not. No, I've actually been with them about a little over a month and a half, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, this organization would be fairly, I think, across the board known by believers, mm-hmm. as the Bible Translation Organization. And you guys have people all over the world.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, in just about every, in fact, you in some countries that have multiple dialects, you mm-hmm. have, do you know what the record would be for any one nation of how many dialects you are translating?
One that I oversee, it's called Papua New Guinea.
Oh, that's one of the bigger ones.
It's just above the northeastern part of Australia, and there's 881 different dialects and languages there.
No way.
Yes.
How does that happen?
I'll give you an example. There's one area one of our associates is working, and he just spent some time with a small village, about 320 people, and they're now interpreting the Bible. And there's a mountain that you go over, and he and his team went over the other side to the mountain, and they explained who they were and that they were just with the other village on the other side. And when they said that, a couple of people were like, "What village?"
they didn't
understand.
Know.
No, and the translator that was with them really couldn't communicate with them very well. But it ended up being another project. And it's amazing. You would think it would be a lot easier to understand languages.
It wouldn't
be anything like that. Some of the other countries we're working with are the same way.
So if I'm getting this right now, you could have, obviously there are a lot of mountains in these areas.
Yes.
But you go on the same mountain, just on the other side of the mountain,
mm-hmm.
and the people in that village are a different dialect.
Yes.
Would it be similar in any way?
Some of the words would be similar, yeah. Yeah, but there's a lot of change.
It would be so interesting to me. I mean, one of the questions that pops in my head real quickly is, why is it that way? How did it get to be so many dialects, so many different functional languages?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of it just seems to have developed over the years. I'll give you an example. There's a very large country called Australia that I'm heavily involved with.
Yeah.
And we have 47 different languages that have to be translated, that the Bible has to be translated in right now. And most of them are in the northern part of the country where the Aborigines live.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's amazing. You know, when I first started, I thought, be a piece of cake. And then I remembered a couple of mission trips I was on where I took a Bible. I went to Namibia and I took Afrikaans English Bibles and I gave a couple of them out and people just looked at it and set it aside. And I asked, you know, are you going to use that? And they're like, I don't read that.
Yeah. It'd be like somebody giving somebody else something in some Chinese dialect. And,
yes.
And they couldn't, it was meaningless to them.
Yes, exactly. They just don't they just don't understand what's that there's so many different changes out there, and that's kind of where we're directed. It's a lot different than it was years ago.
You know, when I think about traveling like you do now, I've never been to Australia, but I mean, that is a marvelous country for mm-hmm. so many different reasons.
Yes.
But I think a lot of people, when they hear people from Australia come to America, it sounds like English. I mean, it's almost sounds with a UK slant or very similar. But you're saying that there are many different dialects when you get into the Aborigines mm-hmm. and all of those areas, a lot of different dialects there.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. It's just, it's amazing. Like I said, when I came on board, I didn't realize what was involved. Our organization's been around since 1967, and we basically targeted things a little differently than some of the organizations. Right now in the world, there's about 1,600 different organizations that are named Wycliffe in some way. There's actually two here in Orlando, mm-hmm. and each one of them does different aspects of sharing the word. So it's actually, it's awesome. It's a game
plan. Are they related?
No, not really. Not really. It's interesting. Our building, we actually are in the same community as Wycliffe Bible Translators, but we're Wycliffe Associates. And Wycliffe Bible Translators actually sends people in as missionaries to learn the language, mm-hmm. learn how to put it on paper, and then do a Bible translation. It takes a little bit of a while. We don't do that. We're a little, I hate to say it this way, more modern.
Okay.
So, I'll give you an example. A New Testament translation, after we train our folks, even if it's remotely, because I do tons of stuff remote. I have 7 meetings remotely this week of training or different people in different parts of the world. But what we're actually doing is we're learning their language, and we're getting it translated quickly. I'll give you an example. What we do is we'll make an arrangements with our team that's there. We'll go into the area, and we'll invite people groups out that are interested in doing Bible translation. And what we will do then is show them what we're going to do through translators if necessary. And we just take them a step at a time, and we pick a book out of the Bible that's easy for them to translate, like Titus. And we will take them through, and we will have them read the first chapter. And then we will say to them, what did you get out of that? What do you get? And it's interesting because what they see is a little different than maybe what you and I see, because we're so used to word for word for word. What they'll do is they'll just put it in a small little story, and then it'll be translated. And when that book is finished, after we check it with them, make sure it's all good, and we have everything together in a written form or a verbal form if they don't write, and then we publish it. What I mean by publish it is through modern technology, it's available on their phone, it's available on a pin drive, mm-hmm. and if they want it to print, then they can print. That's just it's a different way of doing things. We've been doing it since 2014 that way.
So basically, this would be, not even from a theological standpoint, it wouldn't be an accurate translation of the Bible that you're putting out?
Well, actually, it's the way I looked at it when I first started was, hey, we're not doing, you know, word for word for word. But what I realized through all the different Bible translations over the years, people see things differently. And so many people groups do not have written word. They don't have written word. And they, you know, it's verbalized. It's kind of like there's an illustration that I saw about a lady who was a missionary, and she went into a particular area and happened to be the South Pacific. And she explained to the lady that she was working with and understood English, I'm going to translate John 3:16. So she reads it to her. And she says, well, what do you think? And the girl says, well, I think God takes over my life. He controls everything I ever do. And I can't really do anything. And everything I get, I have to give to him.
Hmm.
And it's like, that's not quite how it works. Mm-hmm. So what's done is through the teams that we have in different areas, they actually teach people about having a personal relationship with Christ. So then it's an easier understanding for them to understand the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
yeah, context changes everything.
Yes.
And, you know, taking it in rightly. And then there's, you know, the whole thing of hermeneutics and interpreting the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's something that is, it's deep and it's important.
Yes.
And, you know, I know there was a Bible that came out years ago, and a number of people got excited about it. And the more I learned about it, the less excited I became. It was the serendipitous Bible. And so we know that the meaning of God's word is deep and wonderful, mm-hmm. and in a real way, not to be distorted, I guess you could say it that way.
Yes.
And yet we do know that what you said earlier is true, is that when three people read the same Bible, they're going to feel it from a different angle than the person before them.
Yep, exactly.
But that doesn't mean that it can be translated any old way either, right?
No, it has to be a good organized fashion. You know, we've had people come in to attend a translation event, and what they'll do is they'll be from a particular area of belief where they don't agree with mm-hmm. Jesus Christ being our personal Savior. You know, they'll have, well, no, you have to earn and you have to do all kinds of things to get to that point, and then maybe God will recognize who you are. And it's like, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. So our team has had issues with that. Our teams are basically people that work with us, are on staff with us, and they live in the countries. Mm-hmm. And they know the environment a lot better than what we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's got to be something amazing about just even understanding, charting out what dialect is where when you're taking a kind of a relatively small area of geographic size, and yet you could have within that one, let's say a five square mile radius, mm-hmm. you probably could have multiple dialects that one 5 square mile radius.
That's correct, yes. Just depends upon the environment.
So who is there mapping all that out?
Well, we have teams, and their job is to basically go out in the community and get to know people. And they're people that live there. They're people that were born and raised there. They're not a bunch of folks from the United States that go to live there.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they get to know people, they get to communicate with people, and understand what's going on. And then they let people know what's available for them.
Mm.
And it's really nice because a lot of people had seen things in the past where they had to come up with money to be able to do it. That's not necessary with us. Our fundraising team takes care of raising the funds so we can do that type of a project at no cost to anybody. And it's called church-owned Bible translation, so it's a little different.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you get into doing this yourself?
Well, I moved out from Pennsylvania in 2007, and I became a chaplain in Orange County Jail. I got involved in state and federal corrections, which I've been doing for a long time in Pennsylvania. And I heard about Wycliffe Associates, so I signed up for their newsletter to maybe go on a mission trip. In 2008, I went on a mission trip to Brazil, and I took Portuguese American Bibles. And every village we went to, nobody could read them. I was like, and we came back, and I kept looking at the newsletters for Wycliffe, and I thought, well, I'll try and go on a short trip with them. And it just didn't work out. We went to Namibia a couple of years later, and then 2 years later, we went back again. It was the same thing. It was just very, very frustrating because the people, you assume they know a language and they don't. Early last year, I couldn't do anything in Department of Corrections anymore because of COVID, couldn't go in.
Mm-hmm.
And as the year went all along, I thought, well, I guess I'm retired because I'm an old guy, I'm not a kid anymore. And in September, I was actually looking at the Wycliffe Associates newsletter and thought, well, I guess I'll unsubscribe. And there was a position that was there for the Pacific. And my father served there in World War II. And he had a burden for a certain area. And I prayed about it and applied. And after 6 interviews, that's what I did.
Now, describe this Melanesia, because that was a term that I'm not all that familiar with.
Well, it actually we cover everything except for Indonesia itself, Australia, New Zealand. There's thousands and thousands of different island groups. Vanuatu, which you probably never heard of, but it's 700 islands, and it's southwest of Fiji, and it's like northeast of Papua New Guinea. There's the Solomon Islands. There's all kinds of different countries that people just don't even realize they're there unless they're a place to go to travel.
Now, with the people that would be there, would this be like a National Geographic kind of a thing where the dialects, the people, the what would be native to that area, would they be like what people think of in a National Geographic tribal?
Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of them are, yes.
And they would still be like what I think a lot of people's minds might be, a very kind of clannish and very just kind of I guess the picture that comes to mind is that they spend their entire lives in that one little region then.
That's correct, yes.
And there's not a lot of travel, and there's it might be the way life was 150, 200 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. That's correct.
So when people go in, I think of the, you know, the stories of missionaries going in and being killed by the inhabitants of these areas. This is not an entirely safe thing for any of you guys.
Well, usually when we go in, it is. Like, I haven't been in. I have not been in. We've done everything virtually. We should, you know, if things go well, we're hoping we can go in soon, but COVID's wreaking havoc there. What's happened is it's just basically been the day of modern communication. That's the easiest way to explain it. Developing relationships with the team members that are there and realizing who I am in my relationship with Christ and how important this is to me.
So the people, I mean, you're doing this virtually, and this is taking my understanding of a Zoom call to an entirely greater level here.
Yes.
But you're really just meeting with Zoom calls or other type of conference calls. You're meeting people in these islands.
Yes.
And there's infrastructure there that they're able to be on.
Yes.
On their phone or whatever.
That's correct.
And they're getting cell service.
Yes.
On these islands.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Now, who set all of that up?
Well, actually, it's interesting. Vanuatu, for an example, cell service is available at most of the islands. That was set up by the government. Papua New Guinea, in certain areas, it's the same way. Other areas, it's not. You know, you just have to venture out without any communication. Cell phone service, forget about. I mean, it's just that's what the teams do, because they live there. They know what it's like. It's interesting, though, how things are just continually changing with more and more modernization of communications.
Yeah, I think about the Jim Elliots of the world, and we've heard about stories like that forever. And, you know, there's a certain, I think, rush of adrenaline that a young believer who has a heart for missions work and really wants to make a difference in their lives, they want to get out, they want to do that. But then there's the realities of how difficult, how big the world is and how complex. I mean, even hearing 800 dialects in New Guinea alone, that's just mind-boggling to me to think about the chore that it has to be to get this done right. And then when you take this out, how is the bulk of the people, how are they served with the translations? Are they given, I'm getting it that it's not always paper.
No. I can give you an illustration. We just did a project in Papua New Guinea, and Wycliffe Associates provides everything. We provide the laptops. We provide communication assistance. We provide really everything that's needed, including iPads. And what that basically does is allows the people, after they're trained, to go home and spend time typing things out. And as soon as they do, then they come back to the team leader for the area and they put it on a computer.
Wow.
So we can keep it.
That's great.
Oh, it's so much fun.
It sounds like it would be.
Yeah.
It's amazing. My guest today is David Kramer with Wycliffe Associates, and we're going to be back with him in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at BoundlessDroneServices.com to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing.
In the studio with me today is David Kramer. David is the Regional Director of Discipleship in the Melanesia and Pacific areas, and I had no idea what a gigantic section of the world that is, but basically it's the land down under and all the islands that are all around Australia, and one group of islands you said are 700 of them?
Yes, yeah. A lot of people don't realize, they look at the map and they just see the target areas for their vacation time, but there's a lot. Fiji has over 130 islands. Vanuatu is over 700. Papua New Guinea is about 650. And not all are, you know, inhabited that we know of, but like Vanuatu, there's over 300 islands that are people live on. And it's just amazing. It reminds me of a few stories my dad told me about what it was like. I've traveled all over the world and I've never really been to the Pacific.
But he was a soldier there,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was. Yeah, he basically went in after the United States would go in and free the area from Japan. He would coordinate moving everything in to help with the rebuild. And that's And when he traveled, as he got older, he didn't go there either. He just every once in a while would say, "Oh, you know, I'd love to go to Papua New Guinea." And I was like, "Okay." So this opportunity arose, and I was like, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to take that hint."
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's been really a blessing.
So now you said you've traveled all over the world yourself, but not to all of these areas in this one. Have you ever been at all to the other than Australia, which you mentioned?
Well, actually, I haven't been to Australia. I've been to Hawaii. I've been to a couple different places in Africa, Europe, South America. I mean, I've done a little traveling.
But not in this Melanesia area?
No. It was just, I'll be honest with you, when I applied for the position, I was like, this is definitely in your hands, Lord, because I think they're going to interview me and say, this guy's in his 60s. You know, it's not going to happen. But it was very nice because I got to interview a couple other folks that were actually my age and older. and it's what God wants. And that's the nice part.
Well, you're bringing along with you that wisdom and the experience of an older believer that loves what he's doing and loves the opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned something about the new technology and the fact that Wycliffe Associates would take more of this, I guess you could say, the direction of technology and staying with that, as opposed to, you know, I am doing a study right now on Romans 15, where Paul and his missionary journeys he's longing to go to Rome, and he's wanting to go there. And then you look at the map and realize where Paul had gone already at that point in time, where he was about, you know, as he was going to be heading to Rome there for that last trip. But it is really, truly mind-boggling to realize the travels that Paul would have taken, what that meant for him.
Yes.
And they didn't have airplanes. They didn't have buses.
No.
They didn't have anything like that, and probably rarely ever horses or chariots. It was mostly on foot.
Yep.
Yeah. Or by boat. To go to island to island.
That's right.
They did have boats.
Yeah. And that's the interesting part. You know, you just assume travel is easy. About 2 months ago, one of the folks we're working with, he actually is our lead for a church-owned Bible translation in Vanuatu. He was planning on going on his first journey out to four areas where people had already started translation, but nobody had been in contact with him because of COVID. Anyway, he said, I'm going to film it on my phone. I was like, okay. So a couple days later, he sends me this film. And I was just thinking, you know, we are so blessed and it's so easy. He shows the film and there was a stream that they were going to cross. Well, because of all the rains, it became more or less a river. And there were people walking across, holding their babies on their shoulders, walking across like it's no big deal. And it's, you know, it's half you know, chest high on men. And I'm thinking, I'm not doing that. He goes across. And he shows us the end. He's soaked.
Yeah.
but all the stuff they brought. And they went in it. And those people were so excited to see somebody that wanted to help them. And what he was transporting was, I always forget. A thing you can get for sun power. A little, I always forget the name. A solar panel.
Solar.
So, taking some solar panels, which would help with the, you know, for the power for them to do translation. I was just... mind-boggled because they were leaving and that's what they were having. They were going to be able to handle things without him being around.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just so much hope and love in those people's eyes. They were just thrilled to see somebody because of lack of communication because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. You know? Now, you know, we talk about COVID in America all the time, and it's obviously mm-hmm. known that people all over the world are dealing with COVID as yes. well. But what I am finding surprised is that these islands like that you're describing, that they would be dealing with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that means that there are people traveling there
yes.
and sharing the wealth.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Fiji's having a real problem right now. They're having about 600 cases a day, which is bad because the population is only about 300,000. Papua New Guinea, forget travel there because it's crazy. But Vanuatu, they've had 4 cases.
Now, why would that be?
They're not letting anybody in.
Okay, so they've shut down the borders.
They basically shut everything down.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not letting anybody in. They're guarding the waterways coming in. They're just basically saying, sorry, you're not allowed mm-hmm. here. You know, it's just people don't realize what's happened with it. They just think of what they see on the news and all those small little countries. You know, no, nobody notices really what's going on. It's such a great world that the Lord's built. You know, it's just amazing.
You know, I can't even imagine your learning curve when you went to work for Wycliffe,
yes.
what the learning curve would have been yes. like. So did you sit down in front of a computer and then just start poring over documents and websites and that kind of thing?
Well, actually what happens is Wycliffe had all kinds of, they have a great IT team, as a lot of organizations do. But what it basically was, it was about 3.5 months of training. I mean, mm-hmm. nonstop training about all different kinds of things. And what actually is we actually teach a class. It's called the MAST program. And what it's doing is it's mobilizing translation. That's what it means. And basically had to learn how to present that. And, you know, it's a key part in what we're doing, but also just all the different things that are available for record keeping and just being there. And mm-hmm. that's the big thing. That's the nice thing about having a pastoral background. You can do the detail work, but you can also tie in all the other things that the people that are overseas need.
Now, one prayer. Thing I definitely can resound with is the pastoral background.
Yes.
And here, you know, we're at similar stages in our life mm-hmm. and people think, well, you're done, you're retired, you're going to do this. And that is not the case for you at all.
No.
You're probably busier than you've ever been.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I was actually a pastor of a church and chaplain in a county correctional facility. And I worked a lot of hours, but this is just more because my structure is so much different. Like Thursday, I'll be doing conference calls till probably about 11:30 in the evening, and I'm starting at 7.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just very long days. But the
yeah.
Lord gives you strength when you need it, so it's
yeah.
it's nice.
What about all of this, David, do you like the most?
What do I like the most? I guess it would probably be seeing the people that I'm working with get excited about being able to share the gospel. Because that's the fun part. When initial training starts, we actually our team, whoever it may be, will actually share why this is being done. And by the way, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Do you know about it? And I've heard some really great stories where 11 people came out and 2 people raised their hand saying yes, they had a relationship with Christ, and the team members basically explained to them what that is,
mm-hmm.
what God has done, where He came from. His son, I mean, everything. And then all of a sudden, all but one accepted Christ.
Wow.
And then they were on fire. You know, it's very, very hard to hold them back a little bit. It's like, pace yourself, you know.
No, I think most people have seen videos where people are going into tribal areas and presenting the gospel at some of these big open areas. Some might have tents. Mm-hmm. Others might just be in the open field. What kind of crowds would your people with Wycliffe, at the most, what would they see there?
Well, it depends. I'll give you an example. About 2 months ago, one of our team member in PNG, Papua New Guinea, he got something set up for a training, and he expected about 40 people. Well, 65 came. All the extra people had heard about it, and they wanted to find out how they could take the next steps. Mm-hmm. And they were not prepared to see everybody come out, mm-hmm. but he in turn turned and set up another training. But all these people were hungry to be able to get the word of God in their primary language. And it was just, it's like God always has a much better plan than what we expect.
Now, you mentioned that your people are trained in really technological ways with iPads and laptops and all of that. The people that are in the village, how do you give the word to them?
Well, they're actually being trained to more or less do it on their own. And how it's trained is usually a church that we work with. Our team works with a particular church that's in the village and works with them and gets them to the point where a book of the Bible is translated, and then they let them share it with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much how it works. It's great.
Yeah. All right. So I didn't know. Are they given tracts or like Bibles? Do you handle in their dialect? Do they ever get a Bible?
Depends. Sometimes we have different organizations that will donate to be able to provide Bibles. Technology's taking over. The second time my wife and I went to Namibia, we saw something really strange. There were poles with solar panels and a whole bunch of outlets. And at the end of the day, everybody was plugging their cell phones in. Everybody has a cell phone, no running water, no place to cook except for fire, if they could find stuff. But they all had cell phones. And the funny part was the next morning, all the cell phones were still there. Here in Orlando, if you had a power station to power your phones up, they'd all be gone in the morning. We know that.
Oh, wow.
But they realized how valuable it was because they could communicate. They could communicate, they could learn things. And we actually saw women that were teaching children off their phones how to do math and English or language. And that's pretty much what's happening. People are actually more interested in getting the complete Bible on a pin drive or on their phone than anything. Wycliffe developed a website or a translation a long time ago. It's called URL. It's a Universal Life Bible. And it's not copyrighted. It's the only Bible out that's around that is not copyrighted. And what it's done is on the website, you can actually you can pick a language and it's translated right there. If it's been a complete project completed Bible chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow. Yeah. This is crazy, blown my mind. I'm still trying to get used to that picture in my mind of all these villages and the villagers carrying around a cell phone. That just blows my mind. And now I'm starting to think they're all sitting around the fire and their faces are down in the screen, like what happens in a restaurant here in the United States. You know, that's a sad thought for me, honestly.
Yeah.
And would the general populations in these countries have access to the internet, or is it just programs on these phones?
No, actually, a lot of them do have access. And it's interesting because they'll pay for internet time and texting time more than phone time.
Mm-hmm. And that would not surprise me.
Yeah.
But it is available. And I think a lot of folks, especially those that are familiar with what it used to be like in these mission trips to islands like what you're describing, the thought that there would be infrastructure there for all of the village and even in the mountains to have access.
Yes.
It's shocking to me.
It's amazing. We have one part of our team goes out and does outreach. And what they'll do is they'll invite people into a city to stay for a couple of days. We provide their food and place for them to stay and all that so they can get the training if they don't have the internet access.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens. We've had people that have, walked for 2 days to be able to come in and spend a week and learn how to translate the Bible in their own language.
So the people that go in into a new area, because I'm sure this happens where you're going in and you realize, well, you've just hit another dialect, but not one that's familiar with you. Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
Well, we actually, part of Wycliffe Associates is, and there's a team that's what they do. They're when they hear about something, their job is to go in and investigate it and find out. If it's something that's, that's going to work, then what they do is they do the initial short training to let people know how it works. And then they have to make that organization or church or group has to make a commitment. After that commitment's made, they let our discipleship team know, and then we make arrangements to start working with them for translation.
How long does it take a person who is experienced at doing this, going into a village and learning that dialect, the differences between, let's say, one region and another? How long does it take them to get it down?
Well, it's amazing because usually somebody will be in a village that'll have a certain dialect and they'll know other stuff and other languages or another dialect. And what we can usually do is use that as basically the translation process.
Okay.
So,
well, it's a good template if that works out like that.
Yeah, it seems to work out very well. We're very happy.
That's amazing. I'm talking today to David Kramer. He's the Regional Director of Discipleship for Melanesia and the Pacific area. And that's a huge area of the world down around the whole nation of Australia and all the Fiji Islands you mentioned and all of that. Wow. A lot to be done there. And there are a phrase that you have on your card that you have is accelerating Bible translation.
Yes.
And you're doing that through technological means.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. God created things and people, and you know, now we're using that to the advantage. It's just a lot quicker. I'll give you an illustration. I can't think of the name of a small little town in Papua New Guinea, but there's a picture that somebody took a couple of years ago, and it's a warehouse. And in the warehouse, there's 50 cases of Bibles. And the particular dialect, it took 15 years for them to be translated and put into printed fashion. Most of the people in that area don't read half of that anymore because the dialect has changed.
It's changed.
So those Bibles sit there. Now you figure that took a lot of time, money, effort to get it printed, and then to what? It didn't work. You know, there's people don't want to, kind of like me going on the mission trip, taking a Portuguese Bible to Brazil. Nobody wanted it.
So I got a quick question here before we take a break. The governments in these areas, are they completely supportive of Wycliffe?
Most of the organizations that are involved in government have not been an issue whatsoever. That's the fun part about the Pacific. It's a little different in other parts of the world where we work. We have people who go in other countries, and they go in as different people, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you don't get the same kind of treatment as you would in China.
No, not at all.
Or Venezuela.
Not at all.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow. David Kramer is my guest. We'll be back with David coming up in a moment for one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Hey, we all know in business that one of the hardest things to really get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, but I'm here to tell you a little secret that will make the problem simply go away. Boundless Drone Services. They take away all the stress. Brian Fay and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Boundless Drone Services. Contact them today. BoundlessDroneServices.com. My guest today in the studio is David Kramer. David is the Regional Director of Discipleship with Wycliffe Associates in the part of the world that I think most of us would love to take a trip at any one of these destinations, especially Australia. Yes. I really love it. I would love one day to see the outback and to travel along, but you're talking about the Fiji Islands, and I don't even know how to pronounce some of these places where you guys oversee, and you've got people there.
Yes. Yeah, we've learned. I've been learning a lot myself about how to pronounce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the world, you said it in segment one, the world is a big place that God has created, and he's given you in this day and age, and I'm walking out of this interview with you today with what I think is a new respect for how God has blessed our world with technology. Now, we know there's plenty about technology that's not a positive thing.
Yes.
There's stuff on the internet that is regrettable, sad, that a lot of kids are getting exposed to it on a daily basis. But the technological terms that you guys are using and the way you're in harnessing its power is really an amazing thing.
Yeah, it is. And I didn't realize it all until I came on board either. It was just amazing to just see all the different bits and pieces, how God's put people together to help develop more and more things. Like I said, we've got over 500 and some people that are involved with Wycliffe Associates, but our IT team is continually working to try and make things more convenient for all of us and also all the folks we serve. We're probably going to be doing a lot more online training. Actually, the typical training for the MASS program is a couple days. We're probably going to actually be setting things up, so we'll be doing it live from Orlando to wherever.
Is this the headquarters for Europe?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're down near, there's a couple of organizations, International Bible Societies down there. There's a lot of...
Like in Lake Nona area?
Yes, Lake Nona, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're down by Crewe.
Yes, exactly. We're down by Crewe. Yeah, it's just a lot of people don't realize that area. A lot of prayer goes on from down there. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a big find, I know, for Bill Bright and all the people at Crewe when they came in. And this was an area at that point in time, at least it would seem I was here, living in this area during that time frame, where that growth was happening, pushing that direction south of Orlando and maybe east of Orlando. And so this area now is a hub for a lot of ministries.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's why it was a surprise when I pulled in the parking lot the first time. I was like, wow, I didn't realize all that was here.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just feel it when you got out of the car. It's like, okay.
Now, you mentioned something during the break that I wanted you to bring up and talk about. You talked about the excitement that you feel in the beginning of every new day. So tell me about that.
Well, when I was looking at possibly being retired, it was like, okay, Lord, I'm not done. I need something else. I need direction. And the Lord set me up with this direction. And what I mean by that is, in developing relationships with our team members that are overseas, I kind of hit them off guard. I guess it was with a gift God gave me. I didn't call and say, okay, hi, we need to do this, this, and this. I would say, hi, tell me about yourself. How'd you get to know the Lord? And we did that for every single person. And it developed a relationship. But what it did is it allowed me to thrive on what he's done in my life. And, you know, to be able to share a little bit about that. And that's, I think, one of the most important things. We're supposed to be able to share and nourish others with how God has moved in our lives. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, okay, what are we going to do today? And it's very funny. I set my alarm every day, and I'm always awake well before time. This morning I had some things to do. I got up, I did those, and then at 8:30 I realized my alarm went off. I was like, wait a minute. I forgot to shut it off today. It's just life's exciting because people are hungering for the Word of God. And the reason they're hungering for the Word of God is because they want to know Him. And that's what we're here for. We're supposed to share Him with others.
Mm. Are you seeing young people, let's say millennial age, 30s, 40s, are you seeing a good number of them enter into this kind of a field of serving the Lord in Bible translation?
Yes. Because what we're doing is we're doing things a little different. Our team members, it used to be just, email back and forth, maybe say hi when we could. What I'm doing is I'm getting them to send me pictures of events, everything that's happening. And we're actually posting them on our little personal website that we have. But what I'm seeing is almost everybody that's coming out is young, and I'm saying 35 and under, and they want to know, they want to learn. One training we did a couple of weeks ago was at a small little Bible college in Vanuatu, and there was 11 people in that group. One person was maybe in his late 40s, early 50s. Everybody else was young, and it was so interesting because we said, who here would like to help with a Bible translation? And of course, they raised their hand. Who here knows a language other than what we're speaking or what you're hearing every day? Everybody raised their hand. So it's like, okay, now there's more projects for us to do. It's just exciting because that's the call. Our call is to share the love and the Word as much as we can. And after thinking I'm retired, God's like, no, not yet. Mm-hmm. Not yet. When I call you home, then it's time.
Vanuatu, where is that?
That is actually northeast of Papua New Guinea, which would be northeast of Australia. Excuse me. And it's southwest of Fiji. I never heard of the country.
I never heard of it until today.
I never heard of it until I started. I was like, Vanuatu.
I'm going to have to get my globe out and start looking at some of these areas where you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it's really crazy to realize that all of these areas that you've described have infrastructure mm-hmm. with the internet. It's blown my mind.
I know. It's pretty amazing to see. And
I go places here in America that you can't get.
I know. I just had somebody I know went away for 3 weeks in a remote area in Colorado.
Yeah.
Didn't have internet or telephone service.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, no TV, no anything.
And we got to get with it, man.
Yeah, it was a blessing. He said it was a great time with the Lord. I'm so looking forward to continuing doing what I'm doing, but I'm looking forward to getting on a plane and going.
Yeah.
That's the big part. As soon as, you know, there were the structures available to do that with COVID being under control, I'm going. My wife and I will both be gone because there's a lot to do.
Now, you've already mentioned that there are some of these areas, they've got complete lockdown.
Yes.
And you can't get in there at all anyway.
That's correct, yeah.
So that would mean then, I'm assuming, that the people that are there can't leave either.
That's correct. Nobody leaves.
Yeah.
Nobody leaves.
What a time.
Yeah, it's a horrible time in this way. But like I said, I'm seeing people realizing what's most important in life. And you know, they're getting to know the Lord, and that's big.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. It's bigger than anything else, because we know the Lord, our relationship with Him is what's most important, and He'll carry us as we need to be carried through whatever. So.
You know, it doesn't seem like we're having the same kinds of breakthroughs in technology that there for a while. Every year there was a different major breakthrough in technology, and we've kind of gotten into a rhythm now with mm-hmm. where we are. With all that we have, which is significant, obviously you guys are doing it with things like iPads and telephones and you know, people text now. They don't mm-hmm. make the calls. They text and they email and so forth. With young people, texting is predominantly mm-hmm. what they do. But then you have this whole thing. How does social media affect what you're doing?
Well, social media has actually been a big help. I personally have a Facebook set up specifically for what I'm doing, and a lot of communication goes on that way. And it's interesting because right now, in ministry in the past, I had some connections in India, and a couple of those have found me on Facebook. And what we're doing is we're actually getting operations started for them in southern part of India to be able to do Bible translation in a couple areas they don't have any.
Now, there's another country right there that have a lot of dialects.
Yes, that's correct. I don't know how many. I think it's in the 400 and some range, I believe. Right now, they say there's about 7,200 plus languages in the world, and it changes. And right now for Bible translation with all the different organizations, they say there's about 1,700 that are still untouched.
So that means you guys have done over 5,000 dialects yourselves.
Well, we have, along with Wycliffe and SIL, which is another organization. There's a lot of different Bible organizations out there, and they're doing what God has called. It's kind of like why there was not one disciple. You know, there's organizations, and that's what they do, but they all do it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nobody duplicates. There's a place for everybody. I guess that's the easiest way to explain it.
Do you have a large church base that kind of helps support all of these efforts?
Well, actually, there's a group of people that actually work at Wycliffe that take care of fundraising. They communicate with a lot of different ways. Personally, I have churches in the area that support what I'm doing or partners.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a group of people that are advocates, and they're people in business and pastors and things like that. And what they do is they're my ears, and they pray specifically for me. We also have businesses and individuals that are providing support I need. It's interesting because I have a very large budget, but I have to provide what I live off of through fundraising.
You raise your own funds.
Yes, we raise our own funds.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot. And I know this was something that you were very excited about and continue to be so.
Yes.
And it's really interesting to see. I mean, when you look at I'm sure that the surprise of COVID was not on anyone's radar when it comes to all of this stuff, and now it's lasting a lot longer than what we thought it was going to.
Yes, unfortunately, it's just not, you know, it's all part of what God's allowing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be nice to see people here get a little excited about a relationship with him too.
How can people get in touch if they'd like to pray, if they'd like to contribute, if they'd like to communicate to people that you deal with? How can they do that?
Well, actually, I blessed you with a card, but it's actually a website that was set up on MailChimp a little while ago, or you can just look us up by emailing us. It's David_Kramer@WycliffeAssociates.org. And that's, we're looking for prayer partners, and that's a biggie. And we will not just say, thanks for being a prayer partner. We will send you things we need prayer for. Mm-hmm. So we will bother you in a very nice way.
Yeah. Keep those cards and letters coming. Huh?
You got it. Well, it's interesting because I was actually at a church yesterday. I was invited out to a church through somebody I knew, and I'll be honest with you, I was blessed because I could see their hearts for people, and it was very nice to see. And I went there basically just for them to become a praying church, and Lord had a different plan. There was a whole lot more, not just a praying church, because there were five youth that were in service, and they all came forward afterwards and asked if they could become prayer partners. Not anything else, just prayer partners. I'm like, not anything else. That's more valuable than anything there is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And by the time I got home, I actually had two hellos on Facebook and three emails from those youth.
So it's following up. And, you know, yes. The young people of today, sometimes young people get a real strong criticism against them, but that there's a lot of young people today who are on fire for these things of reaching out to people who need to be reached, who are alone otherwise. And the youth of today seem to really have a heart for that.
Yes. And that's the fun part. Like I said, we have a website we set up. It's called David Pacific Discipleship. And a lot of people go on there and just join as prayer partners, because that's what we're looking for. It's a little different type of a way of looking at things. A lot of people want to do fundraise, because a lot of missionaries have to raise funds before they can go out. Well, we didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. We were able to just do what the Lord said, go and I will provide. And he's doing a good job.
And people can, if they're hearing this, they can also then support you.
Yes, that's correct. Yes. And
because you're constantly raising your own funds.
Yes. Yeah. It requires a little bit of time every week to do that. But that's, you know, the Lord does what he needs when we need it.
Well, it's great. David Kramer from Wycliffe Associates, Orlando, Florida. Welcome to our studios today. We finally got it face-to-face in
finally
here.
Finally got a face-to-face, Mike.
It's been great. It's really been great to have you and to discuss this, and we'll be praying for you.
Thank you. That's important. We appreciate that.
All right. God bless you. And friends, thanks for joining us today. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.